What up, y'all? This is J. Cole. I'm listening to the Dana Cortez Show.
Are you a woman who owns her home without a man? Can you call me 877-730-DCS1 or text and let me tell you why? I want to talk to you. How did you buy your home? Did anyone co-sign? Did you come up with a down payment all on your own? The reason why is because a new study shows that women are surpassing men when purchasing homes. And this is the first time in history that this has happened. More women own their own home now as single, standalone persons than men as single, standalone persons, which is amazing. Congratulations, ladies.
But I don't think it's shocking because more women are graduating from college as well.
We're just running, huh, ladies? We're just running.
Automatic, whose team are you on here, Automatic? Okay.
I'm just stating the facts, Anthony.
He's a girl dad.
But you're right, though. Like, all my female homies, they all have their own homes. And I'm trying to think of my man homies. Not many of us own our own houses. I don't own my own home.
Well, you move a lot, though. You move a lot. It's hard to do that. When you're a single person and moving around, sometimes renting is just better. So you don't have one friend, one man friend that owns a house, a single man friend?
By himself? Like I do?
Yeah.
No, I not by himself.
Sad.
Every man I know who has their own home actually like lives with somebody. Yeah. Also, the amount of men I know who've moved in with their girlfriends.
Otto.
When we first moved in together, I moved into Dana's house, or it was her apartment at the time.
Do you know that Otto had never...
I was way ahead of the trend. Like almost 2 decades.
You're
ahead
a trendsetter. Automatic, yeah. You're a trendsetter. So honestly, Otto, you'd never even lived with anybody until we lived together. You'd never been like nothing. That's insane.
I mean, I got an instant family within a day.
You literally did stepkids, house payments, property taxes.
My life changed dramatically.
I just got a text message from Deborah, and she said, I've owned my home for 8 years. And my boyfriend now lives with me. Okay, Deborah. So she's got somebody, and she doesn't. And okay, hold on. Let me ask her. Do you care that he did not help you buy it? Let's see what she has to say. Hi. Good morning. Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. What's your name?
Carmen.
Carmen, do you own your own home? Did you buy it all by your little self?
I did.
Hey. That's right. You are a trendsetter. Okay. When did you buy this home, and did anybody help you with a down payment, or was it all you?
I bought it in the last 6 months in August.
Wow. Congratulations. Oh, my gosh.
And yes, I bought it by myself.
Don't you love the mortgage and the property taxes and everything that come along with it?
Coming up with that down payment by yourself?
Yeah. No, it's more the interest that gets me. I don't like paying interest. I want to be paid interest. So.
Yeah, right. You're like, what's going on here? Here's a little something. Pay a little extra in principal every month and you'll cut that interest rate in half. Okay. I've owned many homes. I'm so lucky that my mother co-signed for me at a time, honestly, in my life that I probably shouldn't have been buying a home. I didn't make a lot of money. But she knew the importance of owning a home. She herself bought her own home on her own. She was a single mother for years. She co-signed for me to buy a home. And since then, I mean, I was in my early 20s. I have always owned a home because of that gift, the gift of her credit, of her co-signing for me. And she helped me a little bit with my down payment. So I've been able to, I mean, I really feel like that's how you build generational wealth.
It is.
Yes, absolutely. I'm getting into the real estate investing space now, so yes.
It really is. You are ahead of the curve. Like
generational wealth, well, yeah.
Do you have kiddos?
I do. I have one daughter. She's 10. She's my world.
Oh, Carmen, how does she like being in her home? I mean, is it different from her than living in a rented space?
Oh, she loves it. She is the one that told me to call in, so.
I wish we could have spoken to her. What's her name?
Madison.
Please tell Madison I said hello. And I know how she feels. I remember when my
mother... She's proud of her mama.
Otto, when my mother bought that home for the first time, I can't tell you. I'm getting emotional right now. How I felt when we opened that door. And I was like, this is mine. And I had my backyard and I had my room and I'd be able to invite friends over and not have to worry so much about noise. You know, my mom worked so hard to give me what she could. She worked two jobs And I used to get angry at her. I remember feeling mad, like, why is she not home? Because we have to eat. That's why. I realize now.
She had to put a roof over your head.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was more my experience when my mom bought her home. Oh. It came with a lot of lectures of, don't ask me to go to Disneyland or Six Flags for the next 3 years. So...
Do you want a house or do you want Mickey Mouse?
Yeah. I'm glad yours was warm and welcoming because mine was stern and I had to be grateful. Oh.
And I just want to remind, you know, congratulations, obviously, to our girl Carmen. Oh, and Deborah said, no, I don't care that he didn't help me. He helps me with the mortgage now. Okay. All right. Deborah answered me that text message. Part. Yeah. Okay. Also, I want to remind you that it wasn't until 1974 that women were legally able to buy a home without a husband or their father signing.
So in 50 years, women have passed us.
Yeah, wow. In just 50 years, yeah. You know, for me, that means so much. And there's a lot of people trying to pull us back. I would never go backward because life back then was not good for me and for my sisters, for my aunts, for my daughters. It wasn't good. We must continue to move forward. And congratulations to all the ladies doing it big and moving your men in.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
This Las Vegas mom, her name is Loris Offil. She's turned her side hustle into a $9,000 a month job.
Oh.
It was a little side hustle gig that she picked up. Well, let's hear from her first of all right now.
It's a team effort with the whole family pitching in. Between our oldest son who will go do drop-offs and pickups for us and does a lot of the heavy lifting, which is nice. Then between me and my wife, we have folding as well as bagging. I do anywhere between 10 to 15 orders a day. We're able to stay home, pay all of our bills.
That's it. They just started doing it. There's an app called the Poplin app where you can do like side gigs. And she said, you know what? I can do this. I can make this work. Imagine making $9,000 a month working from home.
Imagine doing 15 loads of laundry a day.
No! No,
that's the part. You get upset about three.
That's why she has this business. There's so many people who have a lot of things on their hands. I mean, I worked Friday and Saturday back to back, which Otto does all the time. But when I get home, my job's not done. It was 11:15. Walked in the door, still had two loads of laundry. One was in the dryer. One was in the washer. Mm. Had to rewash, had to do that, had to fold, had to put everything away. Saturday morning, I was still doing that. I came back Saturday. I still had laundry. It does not end.
It doesn't end. And I don't want to take your thunder away, Dana, but you have a partner in your home. At least you have somebody to assist you. I had to wake
up. Do I?
What are you talking about? I did the laundry on Friday or Saturday.
When I came home, the laundry was still in there.
It's because I forgot to put it in the dryer. No big deal.
What I do remember is when I said, can you bring it in here? He sure did throw it on the bed for me to fold. But I digress. Go ahead, Anthony.
Because I don't fold right.
Those are some things that are undigressable. And that was you can't undigressable from that.
I think the moral of the story is here. Look, if you figure out a way to make money, right, without having to go work for the man, take a chance on yourself. She did, and her whole family's stepping in to help.
And now they're making more than a lot of college graduates.
She's making six figures doing laundry. I don't know if she's clearing six figures, but she's doing pretty well. So, I mean, and then she's also employing the rest of the family. Obviously, you know, she's got the kids picking up and dropping off. And I mean, it's a family business at this point.
And on that note, on paper, that sounds easy and dreamy and peachy, mm-hmm. but automatic. You have more insight to working a family business than the rest of us.
There's a lot more arguing, a lot more screaming. And
notice he doesn't work for the family business anymore.
I don't think you know how many times my dad fired me.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
How many push-ups can you do? Push-ups determine how healthy you are.
According to who?
Men's Health Magazine and the doctor who works for them and wrote this article. And I just did 32 push-ups and I even filmed it to prove it. And it took me 7 minutes to catch my breath after because I hadn't done them in so long. I used to do 100 a day. Now, not at the same time, but I would do 30, and then 10 just to wrap things up. And I was like, not the best shape in my life, but pretty darn good shape. And now I'm dying with 32. Like I have little flats on, so they're slipping. So I was really like, I'm going to fall on my face.
So what does doing all those push-ups say about your health, though?
It's good for your heart. So 0 to 10 means you're below average. Sorry. But you got to start somewhere. If you can only do 0 to 10, try. If you can go do 11 to 20 push-ups, you're average. If you do 21 to 39, which is where I fall in, it's above average. But if you can do 40 plus in a row, that is excellent. Push-ups determine how healthy your heart is. Remember in school, you could do like 100? You just do whatever, you know, you could do pull-ups and push-ups, you know?
You remember in PE, you would have the push-up test day, and then you would do sit-ups, and then you'd have to do pull-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you would do a race. There was a lot of things you did, but
who remembers climbing that rope in gym?
Oh, I failed miserably at that.
Yeah, I never did good on pull-ups. I've never been able to really do pull-ups my whole life. When I was in my best peak physical condition, I could still only maybe do like two or three. But pull-ups are something I've always been self-conscious about too, because even on a superficial level, I feel like when the ladies see you struggling to do a pull-up, it's not a good look at all.
Especially when your legs are going all crazy. You know, when you're doing your legs like a spider trying to help
struggling.
Yourself.
Well, have you ever seen like a marshmallow when it has toothpicks in it?
Yes.
That's kind of like my body type. I just got these really like long dangly arms and then like this really thick torso, so I just look like a hanging piece of like like a pollo loco, little chicken breast hanging on a pull-up bar.
It is so not the best look. Oh my gosh, come on.
Yeah, you're right. I'm more of like a chicharron.
A little bit. No, you're not. When we talked about being on the playground, the pull-ups, we used to play a game where you wrap your legs around people, try to knock them down. What was that called? I can't remember. I was really good at it.
Yeah, and then some kid that was like 3'4" and weighed 79 pounds would kill everybody.
That was me.
I hated that cop.
That was me.
Oh, yeah, when you would have chicken wars, yeah.
Chicken wars. I could not remember the name. I was the chicken war champ. I was the chicken war champ and the tetherball champ. Me and Napoleon Dynamite.
I was going to say, you paint this picture of yourself that is not so enticing as a child.
Otto, it is. I am who I am, okay, sir? I am who I am, and I'm not ashamed to admit that's who I am.
I'm glad we didn't meet in elementary school.
Me too. Me too.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.